Vasudevaya.
Om namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Text 25.
Sa uttama sloka mahan mukha chit yokta.
Sa uttama sloka mahan mukha chit yokta.
Bhavat padmam bhuja sudha kana nidha.
Bhavat padmam bhuja sudha kana nidha.
Smritim purna brismitam tattva vartamam.
Smritim purna brismitam tattva vartamam.
Yoginam Navitaratyalam Varhai.
Yoginam Navitaratyalam Varhai.
Sa uttama sloka maham mukha chiyuto.
Sa uttama sloka maham mukha chiyuto.
Avat padmam bhujo sudha kanai nilha.
Avat padmam bhujo sudha kanai nilha.
Smritim purna vismrita tattva varmanam.
Smritim purna vismrita tattva varmanam.
Yoginam no vritta rattalam varahai.
Yoginam no vritta rattalam varahai.
Sa.
Sa.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Uttama shloka.
Uttama shloka.
O Lord, who are praised by selected verses. Mahat, of great devotees, Mukha-chayuta, delivered from the mouth, delivered from the mouths, Bhavat, your, Pada Amboja, the lotus feet, Sudha, of nectar, Kana, particles, Anila, soothing breeze, Smritim, remembrance, Puna,
again,
Vishmita,
forgotten,
Tattva, to the truth, Vartmanam, of persons whose path, Puyoginam, of persons not in the line of devotional service, Na, of us, Vitarati, restores, Alam, unnecessary, Varai, other benedictions. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace of the Old Path. Is the microphone off? Could you just switch up the microphone? Huh? It's not on. Just check it. No! Ground control, we have contact. My dear Lord, is it better? My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. Purport. It is explained in the previous verse that one has to hear glorification of the Lord from the mouth of a pure devotee. This is further explained here. The transcendental vibration from the mouth of a pure devotee is so powerful that it can revive the living entity's memory of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our material existence, under the influence of illusory maya, we have almost forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord, exactly like a man sleeping very deeply who forgets his duties. In the Vedas it is said that every one of us is sleeping under the influence of Maya. We must get up from this slumber and engage in the right service, for thus we can properly utilize the facility of this human form of life. As expressed in the song by Thakur Bhaktivinoda, Lord Chaitanya says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. The Lord asks every sleeping living entity to get up and engage in devotional service so that his mission in this human form of life may be fulfilled. This awakening voice comes through the mouth of a pure devotee. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet, and therefore he has a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Although when a devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of the mysterious sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. So as soon as a sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord, although up until that moment he had forgotten everything. For a conditioned soul, therefore, it is very important to hear from the mouth of a pure devotee, who is fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord without any material desire, speculative knowledge, or contamination of the modes of material nature. Every one of us is Kuru Yogi, because we have engaged in the service of the material world, forgetting our eternal relationship with the Lord as his eternal loving servants. It is our duty to rise from the Kuru Yogi platform to become Suyogi. Suyogi, perfect mystics. The process of hearing from a pure devotee is recommended in all the Vedic scriptures, especially by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One may stay in his position of life. It doesn't matter what it is. But if one hears from the mouth of a pure devotee, he will gradually come to the understanding of his relationship with the Lord and thus engage in his loving service, and his life becomes completely perfect. Therefore, this process of hearing from the mouth of a pure devotee is very important for making progress in the line of spiritual understanding. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Isn't it amazing? You know, every time you read the Bhagavatam, you read a purport like this and it just really uplifts you. It's so amazing. Prabhupada is just so amazing. So the translation was, and I've broken it up a little bit, My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. So this doesn't necessarily mean, so Uttama Shloka is the word that's being used here, Uttama Shloka, the Lord who is praised by selected verses. That doesn't necessarily just apply to the Vedic teachings. As you know, I'm involved with interfaith, and sometimes they have such beautiful prayers and verses from other scriptures that really enlighten you. I don't know if any of you have ever heard any of the Sufi prayers. They're just really beautiful, glorifying the Lord. Other examples of it are the Sikh bhajans. Sometimes we have to go to programs with the Sikh bhajans and they glorify Govinda. And these devotees are just so enthralled in the mantras and the singing of these verses and they become completely wrapped in it. Remember actually at the Rath Yatra, we invited the people from the Hindu Council of Australia because I'm affiliated with them, and it was suitable for me to actually invite them to establish a good rapport with them. But was anybody there to see how they were singing? Did you see them? It was very moving, wasn't it? Just those prayers to Lord Vishnu that they were chanting. So these verses actually mean so much and they affect your heart. Similarly, in the Old Testament, one of the nicest verses that you ever hear is from the Psalms by King David. Remember David and Goliath? You guys heard of the story of David and Goliath? He was a young boy like your age, and he slayed this big demon, this big Kshatriya demon. He killed him with a slingshot. Anyway, he was a great devotee of the Lord, and he would sing these songs. And one of the songs that he sang, which is mentioned in all the different churches when you go to church, they pray this verse. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So it's like my cowherd boy. I shall not want. I don't need anything but the love of God. He makes me lie in green pastures. So this is the spiritual world. He leads me by the still waters. Again, Goloka Vrindavan. Hey, Haribol. How are you, Prabhu? Good to see you. His goodness restores my soul. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust you alone. And I will trust you alone. So all his love and fervor and surrender is going to God. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. Back home, back to Godhead. So these are great verses. Similarly, in the New Testament, we have that song, that prayer, the praises of Lord Jesus, where Lord Jesus actually wasn't his prayer, but it was also a prayer from the Old Testament that actually Jesus' guru, his rabbi, taught him. You know, a lot of times they attribute the Our Father prayer to Jesus himself, but this was actually a prayer by his spiritual master, his guru, his rabbi. And that is, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Glorify the name of God." So as you can see, these selected verses are not necessarily just from the Vedic text, but anywhere where there is sincere love for God, you hear these wonderful verses. Recently we had an opportunity to actually connect with the indigenous community in this region. And they were expressing their prayers that they have for, what's the name of God in the Indian and in the Aboriginal tradition? I forgot that. Can anybody remember? There's a name of God that they have. Banjo. Yes, you're right. Thank you, Guru. And they pray these wonderful prayers to God in that way. So these wonderful verses are not restricted to the Vedic verses, but the Vedic verses have so much power, and there's so many of them. So the next part of the verse is, "Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles." Everybody likes saffron? You ever have? I mean, it's very rare. It's so expensive. But sometimes you have like sweet rice, and it's got saffron in it, and it's just these little strands floating in the sweet rice, and then when you take a spoon, it's like, whoa, there's like a hit of saffron. So the preparations are so tasty, and they heighten our awareness. So that's a similar experience that we have spiritually. When we get the drops of nectar from the spiritual master, they're like little saffron drops, little saffron strands from the lotus feet of Krishna. The next part was, "When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal position." Remembers you. You know, so remembrance is the thing that is the most important. What Prabhupada always said is, the thing that we have to remember is, first and foremost, we are not these material bodies. We are not these material bodies. When you wake up in the morning and you see yourself in the mirror, the first thing you should say is, "I am not this material body. I'm a spirit soul. I'm a spirit soul who is linked to Krishna, and my duty while I'm sojourning in this material body is to serve God. It's nothing but to serve God." So that's why the first thing, when you're standing in front of the mirror and you say, "I'm not this material body," the first thing that a devotee does is what? After they've had a shower, they apply tilak over their body. Why do we apply tilak? Because we're designating ourselves as a temple of God, a vehicle of God. That we're nothing but a vehicle, a commodity for God's use. That's why we do that. The next part of the translation is, devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. What's life actually worth? And that is basically to dispel this material existence, this illusion. It's an illusion. It's all an illusion. It's a temporary reality, but in actual fact, it's all illusion. For the identity, our real identity, is the spiritual position. The next part is, my dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. So only a person who has realized the truth fully, completely, can impart the understanding. And such a soul is very rare. To connect with such a person is very rare. So rare. So in the 70s, when we came to Krishna consciousness, and it's much the same today, there are many, many good people that in one way or another are trying to present Krishna consciousness, or are trying to present spirituality, Krishna consciousness, are trying to present spirituality. And so, you know, in the 70s, when all of a sudden it dawned on me that actually I have to make an endeavor to find my connection with God, we went in search, much the same as sort of, we were talking about that to another devotee recently, much the same as sort of Radhana Swami in the 70s, where he, on a much more broader scale, ours was limited to this area, Melbourne. But any spiritual teacher that would come to Melbourne, whether they're Buddhist, Sikh, Jains, anyone, we would go, our group of people, there was a group of us who were desperate to find out the truth. And so we try and seek out all these different people. We went to see Maharishi, who was the teacher for the Beatles. We went to see Baba Muktananda, who was a great transcendentalist also. And there was Satchananda Swami, who was started up the whole yoga process. There were Buddhist teachers, but none of them really hit the mark. For a while there, we were infatuated with Maharishi, but after a period of time, we were sort of off that path. We were interested in Baba Muktananda. We went there, and funnily enough, before I became a devotee, you know, he had an opportunity to actually get a spiritual name from him. And he was the one who gave a blessing by whacking you on the head with a peacock feather wand. And this was called Shaktipa. So anyway, we were interested and we were just open to anything, and we had the Shaktipa and he whacked me on the head, and I thought, oh yeah, nothing's really happened. It happened for some people, but it didn't happen for me. So anyway, we went up for Bhakti, got her spiritual name, and that was Sarasvati. And I got my spiritual name, and it was Bhakta. And later, unbeknownst to my spiritual master, he also called me Bhakta. So somehow or other, I'm linked to that name. But then, you know, after a period of time of all these different, we were still, what the? It's not. And then we heard the message. I was on a meditation rounding course, and I heard the message of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada speaks through the Bhagavatam, just like we heard this purport today. How powerful is that? So when I was doing this meditation course, all of a sudden I started reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. And then I thought, we found him. It moved us. The saffron particles hit. And then nothing else mattered from there on in. And it was just a process from there on in to find out more and more about spiritual life. So there are many ways to connect with the Supreme Lord. Many ways. Through deity worship, you connect with the Lord. Recently I had the opportunity to again do deity worship, worshipping my dear Sri Sri Gaurinitai. They were so merciful, they allowed me back into the deity room. I've had some pain in my knees, so I hadn't been able to serve them for about a year or so. So yesterday with Mandu, we were able to serve Sri Sri Gaurinitai again, and it was just so uplifting. To put my head at his lotus feet is just like, there's nothing. Please, if everybody gets a chance to worship the deities, take every opportunity to do it. So deity worship is a way to connect with the Lord. They say this is a wonderful way, and it is. Meditation is a wonderful thing. Our chanting and deep centered meditations are wonderful. Prayer to the Lord, you know, reciting verses for the Lord, composing prayers for the Lord are really good. Going on pilgrimage, going to sacred places, these are all good. But the best thing is associating with a pure devotee. All the scriptures say this is the very best thing to do, to associate with the pure devotee of the Lord at whatever chance you get. That doesn't only mean that we associate with the gurus and the spiritual masters and the advanced devotees that come, but also associate with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said these books that I've translated are simply the message for the next 10,000 years, the spiritual message for the next 10,000 years. And Prabhupada said, it's not me that's speaking, it's Krishna speaking through me. But really we understand the purity of Srila Prabhupada to allow those strands of saffron to actually come through, permeate through these wonderful purports. So we have to take on the qualities. This is what happens if we associate with a pure devotee. If we associate with devotees that are linked to a pure devotee, that association changes us. It changes us completely. You know, like a child is born, and basically, like we just became grandparents again, and this little child enters the world. It's pretty well innocent. You know, Prabhupada explains that while the child is in the womb of mother, she or he is calling out to Krishna, Krishna, if I get out of this mess, they're fully conscious of what has happened in the past. If I get out of this mess, I promise I'll be a devotee for you. I promise I'll end my cycle of birth and death. Then as soon as they come out of the womb, you know, you notice every baby, even a rhinoceros baby or a little pig baby, they're cute, aren't they? Because that's that close connection to God. Within the womb we have that close connection. We are so pure at that stage, reasonably pure, so innocent. And so when a child comes into the womb, then all of a sudden they're bombarded. We did this play one time, I don't know if you've seen it, Hansel and Gretel, and one of the things is I'm supposed to be a little baby. And they got me dressed up with a little bonnet and a dummy. And just to emphasize the fact that I've entered the material world and now all of a sudden my ego starts to be inflated, my false ego. They have parents around me, hear the voices of parents. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, look at him. He's got dimples. Oh, he's got a cute little hair. And the little kid, I'm supposed to be a little kid. And the kid's going, yes, 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 I am, you know. So all of a sudden you forget why we're really here. The process of forgetfulness all of a sudden takes over. And you notice also with young children, in the early stages of their life, they won't say, I want something. They will say, David wants something. Or Mary wants something, meaning them. So they see themselves still, at a very young age, they see themselves as separate from their body. Mary wants to have something to eat. Then gradually, as they get older, they realize that they're Mary. And then they start saying, I want something to eat. But in the very early parts of their life, those are the parents, isn't it? The child says, Bala wants something, you know. And then eventually it becomes, I want something. So they're more identifying with this body. So this is a misidentification. So it's an interesting scenario. So misidentification. So until one's desire is to serve the Lord, we are floundering in this material world. We're really floundering in this material world. Everything is about the body. Everything is about this construct. And Krishna says, although Lord Chaitanya said, you know, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi koi, lava matra, sarva siddhi koi. So Lord Chaitanya in the Madhya-lila says that even a small section of time with it meeting a pure devotee can change a person's life. So often when we're at the restaurants or different places, you come across an old person that comes and they say, you know, I saw your spiritual teacher. You know, if you do book distribution also, you've had that sometime. Yeah, I saw your spiritual teacher. He really made a difference in my life. Have you had that when people come up to you? Yeah, it really happens. So there's no opulence in this material existence. as precious as the opportunity to associate with the sadhu. Because even a moment's association with the sadhu can provide one the opportunity to attain perfection of life. Perfection of life is to get the hell out of here, to go back to the spiritual world. That's the perfection of life. So Raghunath Das, because of his brief association, Raghunath Das had brief association with Haridas Thakur. And he says that hearing the transcendental words vibrated from Haridas Thakur's mouth and seeing the qualities of his pure devotion to the chanting of the holy name, Raghunath Das says, I want what that person has. That's the key. Every one of us, somehow or another, when we finally make our connection to Krishna with our Guru, we see the Guru and we say, I want what that person has. Because you can see the quality of purity is satisfying that individual. So here we have Raghunath Das saying, I want the qualities of Haridas Thakur. So it's really interesting. So there's a really nice story actually that I wanted to relate in this regard. As far, hey, you guys, hey, not in Bhagavatam class, you sit nicely. Or otherwise go outside. Okay? So there's a really nice story. As it was the appearance day the other day of Ramanujacharya, disappearance day of Ramanujacharya, there's this really interesting story about Ramanujacharya and his disciple. And it's a question of being proud. There was his disciple was Dasarathi. Have you heard the story? Dasarathi. He came up to Ramanujacharya and he said, Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, can you please tell me what the meaning is between about the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Pradija Yamamikam Saram Vajar Hamtam Sarapapa Vyu Moksha Vishnu Sucha? And Ramanujacharya says, yes, I'll tell you later. So every day, this disciple would come up every time and ask, Maharaj, can you please tell me what the meaning, the deeper meaning behind this verse is? Sarva Dharma. And went on for a long, long time. Then after a period of time, this devotee had some pride. He was an extremely intellectual devotee. He was very, very competent in the scriptures and everything, and he was a little puffed up, a little bit attached to false ego then. So eventually, Ramanujacharya said, look, what I'd like you to do is to go and see this sadhu called Goshtipurna. Goshtipurna. Go and see him. So the disciple said, yes, Guru Maharaj, and he went to see this Goshtipurna sadhu. And he stayed with him. And he asked Goshtipurna Maharaj, what is the meaning of Sarva Dharma Parija Gyan? And he also said, I'll tell you some later. Bring it up tomorrow. This went on for 6 months. Over and over, this disciple came back to him, Maharaj, can you please tell me what is the secret and divine message between this verse, Sarva Dharma Parija Gyan Namikam Sarva? Later I will tell you. Now be peaceful, my son. So in the end, he came again to his guru, and his guru said, maybe you should go back to Ramanujacharya. So the disciple said, okay. He went back to Ramanujacharya. Guru Maharaj, I'm back. And just as he was about to ask the same question, what is the meaning behind, the transcendental meaning behind this verse of the Bhagavad Gita? There was a lady came. And the lady was, you know, like in those days, if there's sadhu, you get the villagers coming for all sorts of different reasons, problems that they have, just like we have here. You know, Aniruddha has to confront, oh, my wife is doing this and my husband's doing this and I'm not happy here, I'm not making enough money and so on. And Aniruddha Prabhu has to say, yes, okay, we'll see if we can deal with that. So the same with Ramanujacharya, he had this attack, you know, just as this devotee was going to ask him again, please tell me the transcendental message behind Sarva Dharma Pradija. And this woman came in, excuse me, Maharaj, I have a big problem, I need you to help me with this. And Ramanujacharya says, yes, my child, what is the problem? And she said, my husband and my mother-in-law continuously make me carry water from the river to the house, and sometimes I even have to do it in the middle of the night. And I'm fearful. I don't want to go out at night time, but my mother-in-law is making me do this. And then she makes me cook all the time, and it's quite disturbing, and I'm fearful. Guru Maharaj, please help me. And Ramanujacharya says, yes, my child, I will help you. And so he said to Dasarathi Prabhu, you go with this Mataji, you carry her water, and you cook for her. And then I'll let you know when you can come back. So Dasarathi sort of looks at his Guru Maharaj and goes, yes, Guru Maharaj. He follows the instruction faithfully of his Guru Maharaj, and so he goes to the village and he lives in the house of this Grihastha couple, carries water, cooks for them, and time goes by. Month after month, he's dedicated to this service. And then one day, in this village, this big, proud sadhu comes in, and he's discoursing on Krishna, and he's an impersonalist. And so the whole family makes a big deal about this sadhu coming. And the sadhu comes in and he starts espousing all these things about Krishna. And the ultimate end, you know, we are all Krishna. And Dasarathi said, that's it. I can't handle this. And he challenges the sadhu. And he defeats him in all different shastric points that we are all servants of Krishna. We are not Krishna. And the sadhu goes, who the hell are you to speak like this? You are simply a cook and you carry water. How can you challenge me? I'm a great Brahmin. I know all the scriptures. But yet you've defeated me. And so he's completely perplexed. And at that stage, he understood the message between the Sarva Dhamma Parijaya, complete surrender. And so he went back to Ramanujacharya and Ramanujacharya. Now do you know the meaning between Sarva Dhamma? It means completely surrendering. And so that was a really nice little story. So for us to actually connect and really take the opportunity to hear from the pure devotee, we have to dispel our pride. There are so many things that we have to get rid of. We have to clear all the different anarthas in our consciousness to hear purely, to hear purely. Just like what Jesus Christ said, one must be like God. One must not become God, but one must be like God. Pure, completely pure. It's described in the Shastras that actually the living entity is a fragmental part of God, a spark of God. The analogy is given, Prabhupada said that the devotee, the individual is actually like a small spark of fire. Krishna is the fire. And we're, you know, like when you're sitting in a campfire and you see a little spark, we're that. With that little fire. But the potential of that little spark can set off another big fire. Right? So just recently we had the fires in Sydney. Anybody were aware that we had huge fires in Sydney? And then you know how the fires were started? It was a total fire ban day. But this one lady said, oh, I'm just going to put my incinerator on out the backyard. Nobody will know. It's okay. You know, it's all contained, the fire is contained. One little spark of that fire out on the dry grass. Thousands of hectares of land, pastures, animals, houses destroyed from this one little spark. So in the same way, we are those spiritual sparks. And we have the potential to actually, you know, spread Krishna consciousness like wildfire if we understand our true potential. There is a quote here that Srila Prabhupada gives in the Vedas. I'll just read that out. This was really an interesting section. Where is it? In the Vedas it is said that every one of us is sleeping under the illusion of Maya. We must get up from this slumber and engage in the right service, for thus we can properly utilize the facilities of this human form of life. As expressed in the song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Lord Chaitanya says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. The Lord asks every living entity to get up and engage in devotional service. so that his mission in this human form of life can be fulfilled. This awakening voice comes from the mouth of the pure devotee. So this waking up from a night and day dream. There used to be a song in the 70s that Mangalamanda used to sing, Night and Day Dream. It's like that. We're completely engrossed. When we're asleep and we're having a dream, we realize that it's nothing but a dream. If you wake up in the morning and you subtly remember, oh, I had a dream that I was on a ship or something. But when you're having the dream, it's a reality. So similarly in this material world, what we're now doing sitting here is having a daydream. We're dreaming, actually. We're actually spirit souls. We're actually consciousness. We're souls. And so this is an interesting scenario that we have to be aware of, that actually, to a lesser or greater degree, we have to actually come to the understanding that we're not these material bodies, that we're spirit soul, we're consciousness. And then we have to be a mouthpiece. When we get the proper instructions from Guru, we have to be the mouthpiece of Guru, of the spiritual master, and pass this knowledge on to other people. We are all saintly because we've chosen to hear in association the truth from the pure devotee. So all of us sitting here are making an attempt to be saintly, to be pure. And so now it is our duty to pass this knowledge on to others. It's not that we have to be 100% perfect in ourselves, but if we represent the spiritual master correctly, the pure devotee correctly, then we will have the potency of the spiritual master through us. Sometimes we were talking about that with when we do the Bhagavad Gita card readings. You know, at the Rath Yatra festival, one of the highlights of the festival, one of the greatest preaching opportunities is to do this Bhagavad Gita reading. And some of the devotees here had that opportunity to actually help people. And it's surprising how many people are attracted to having some spiritual connection, some spiritual insight about their life. And so they approach the devotees. And the devotee may not necessarily be a pure devotee at that stage, but Krishna starts working through them, and the pure devotee starts working through them. And sometimes you might be counseling someone, and all of a sudden you're saying things that you thought, my God, where did that come from? And you're specifically helping that person. So it's an amazing thing. So we should become as clear and as pure as we possibly can. There's an analogy that Prabhupada gives also, which is a brilliant analogy as far as becoming pure. If you can imagine there's a glass of ink. I know we don't use ink that much anymore, but Prabhupada, when he was on the planet and going to school, they used to have, and we had that too sometimes, you had an inkwell, you know? So anyway, if you get a glass of ink and you add milk to the ink, the milk will stay in the glass and the ink will flow out of the glass. So the ink is like our simple activities or our connection to this material body or our illusion. And by pouring in the milk is the nectar that's being given by the spiritual master, the instruction, the teachings. And so as much as you put milk in, all the ink goes out of the glass until there's nothing left except milk. This is an experiment. You can try it at home if you like. This is the beauty. So this is our position. In the material world, we have to fill ourselves up with the milk of association with the spiritual master, the pure milk of the spiritual master, the teachings of the spiritual master, and that will eradicate our anarthas, our unwanted things, lust, greed, envy, all these things. And all these things are pertaining to this material body. And yet we are pure consciousness. We are that spiritual spark of the Supreme. And yet we identify with this material body. So it's our duty to somehow or another remain, you know, there's this terminology at the moment that the New Age people are using, you know, the born again, or not born again, but be here now, mindfulness, be in the present, nothing else exists. You've heard that sort of argument. It's fact, actually. They haven't got the complete picture. They've got a partial picture. But we should, in all circumstances, remain in the present, because the present, right now, is the only thing that exists. Nothing else exists except the present. We can hanker for things that we may want in the future, and our mind can drift off to that. Or we can lament of the things that we've done over our past, and your mind can completely wrap you up in that. So this thinking process, as Prabhupada is pointing out in the different purports, thinking, and Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita, our mind can be our best friend or our worst enemy. If we utilize the mind to stay in the present, then we're actually utilizing our mind correctly. And by staying in the present, it means that we are completely focused on Krishna all the time. Prabhupada said, 100%, 24 hours a day. That's the quality of a pure devotee, 100%. Nothing hankering or lamenting, oh, I should have done this, or oh, I wish I could do that. What is happening now? How am I serving Krishna now? So, you know, we have a conscious mind, an active conscious mind, where we're doing things consciously. And then we have a subconscious mind. Scientists have made it clear to us that we have a subconscious mind. This is the automatic pilot that we have. So we have to be really mindful, using our mind in the correct way. If we're too addicted to our subconscious mind, the process that we're doing, this devotional process, can be a hindrance to us. Or you make very, very minute advancement. And you can do this in different ways. If you understand about being in the present, Prabhupada said, when you're chanting your rounds, you should clearly enunciate every word. Really meditate on what you're chanting. If you allow the subconscious mind to overtake, then you start thinking about other things. Oh, I've got this to do at work. But you're still chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. But your mind is completely somewhere else. I always have a hassle when I'm chanting Gayatri. You should be in the present, hearing the mantras. But your mind drifts off, but your fingers are still going. And you're still doing the mantras and everything, but you're hitting the last mantra and think, did I say all of them or one? And it's like, you know, you've been... So we have to be really, really focused. Really focused. That's the quality of a pure devotee. There's an analogy that's given. Who drives a car here? We all drive a car? Right. When you're driving the car and you've got a passenger sitting next to you, and you're having a full-on conversation about something, what happens in the car? It's still driving, right? It's the subconscious that's taken over and it's driving your car for you. And you've gone a couple of kilometres down the road and you go, hang on, I think I can't even remember I was driving. So this is what we have to do. The spiritual master, by his association, is giving us the clear indication that we are in the present. And in that present, we adapt and connect with Krishna. We place Krishna in that. So when we chant our rounds, it is consciously forcing our mind, not forcing directly, but choosing our mind's focus on the mantra. But the mind will come in. So in a sense, what is required when they talk about being in the present, you are consciousness, you are witnessing the events that happen. So a pure devotee of the Lord simply witnesses the activities of the body. And so the pure devotee of the Lord, when they're chanting, they're completely connected with Krishna. So we, in our own way, have to practice being present and witnessing our activities. When we're doing devotional service, we can do devotional service in a whimsical sort of manner. Oh, hey, you going, Prabhu? Hey, yeah, what's it? And not focusing on what you've done. Prabhupada says, be focused on your service. When we're doing deity worship, we can have so many things in our mind, but especially in deity worship, you're forced to focus on the Lord. You can't be somewhere else. So in every way, we have to develop this quality. When we're reading Srila Prabhupada's books or we're listening to the pure devotees, we have to try as best we can to train our mind, to train our thinking. You know, as I said, you know, the mind is either our friend or our worst enemy. We have to train our mind to stay in the present. And you can actually, it's an exercise. Watch, try and do it today. It's an exercise. You witness yourself And you can see, here I go again. I'm drifting off in the past, or I'm hankering for something in the future. Bring it back to now. Now is what? I have to perform my service, I have to chant. And the spiritual master is saying, do this 24 hours a day. So this is a really interesting concept. So we are tatastha shakti, marginal energy of the Lord. You know, and so with that marginal energy, we have the opportunity to either be spiritually saturated or materially saturated. We have that leeway. And so we have to, as much as possible, stay in the association of devotees, because that will help us. Now, the association of devotees is of the utmost importance. Even though our association with like-minded devotees, they may not be pure devotees, but they're endeavouring to conquer the mind and to serve the Lord. So sometimes in our devotional career we have lapses because of this marginal potency. Sometimes we actually drift off and we lose touch with devotees. And so we see sometimes devotees leave. That's sad, but they leave. Prabhupada advises that even though you're going through the hardest things in your devotional career, never lose the association of devotees. Never step out of the association of devotees. Always remain connected with devotees. Even if you yourself are feeling, you know, sometimes we have this guilt thing that comes about when a devotee feels that they can't follow the principles, or they're not chanting their rounds or something like that. And then the first thing the mind says is, you shouldn't be here with these devotees. You're not pure enough at all. Look at you. You've fallen down. You're this, you're that. The mind will give you all this information. You're not the mind. That's the enemy mind. The good mind is saying, stay. Stay with the devotees. You may have your problem at the moment. Hear more. Chant more. And they will get you out of this malaise. So Prabhupada was also always saying that. So we have to be mindful. We have to really just connect. And the words of the spiritual master are of such significance. The pure devotee will help us through that. So Lord Chaitanya says that, you know, in the same token, we shouldn't associate with non-devotees. You know, we shouldn't go out there. But my God, we leave this place and the illusory energy overwhelms us. How can we not give association? Because we don't take association, Prabhupada says, we give association. So if we remain in the presence, Krishna conscious, then we are actually giving association. And some of those strands of saffron that the spiritual master, the pure devotee, has wafted into your life will waft into people that you come in contact with. When you're really in the moment, when you're really in the present, when you're really Krishna conscious, see, there's all this mindfulness and all these people that we come across, the impersonalist understanding, we merge with the whole love and all this kind of thing, and you become God and all the different scenarios that they present, they're missing out on the most wonderful connection with the Supreme Lord. We have a desire to serve, and the desire is an individual desire to serve the Lord. And through the pure devotee we get that understanding. So it is the greatest gift that could possibly be given to us. So when we have those strands of saffron and we feel it, you'll be able to pass that on to other people if you stay focused and you develop that. So how do you then go out? Lord Chaitanya has advised us, don't go and associate with non-devotees. You have to give your association, not take your association. So you have to become inoculated. Inoculated. Indraduna Maharaj gives this good analogy. There was that swine flu at one stage, and he had to travel. You know how much Indraduna Maharaj travels all over the world, right? So he had to go to a place, and the doctor recommended, actually, you know, you should take the swine flu vaccination. And Maharaj said, no, I don't really want this, you know. He said, it's up to you, but you're in a plane for over 24 hours. He said, do you know that in a plane, the air is recycled? There's no fresh air coming into this thing. So with this swine flu infection, it could be somebody sitting in the plane, not necessarily even in this flight, but the air never changes in an aeroplane. Did you know that? The air never changes in an aeroplane. It's constantly recycled. So even if it was the flight before, if someone had swine flu, you can have, who's had it? When you come back from India, what's the first thing you get? You get a cold, right? A flu or something. It's because of the air. So to become inoculated against that, the doctor said, you better take an injection. And so he did. Quickly. And so this is our protection. We're inoculated against, but the words of the spiritual master, hearing the words of the spiritual master, both physically, through his disciples, through the words of other devotees, and through the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but the words of this pure devotee. Like we heard this verse today, the purport today, it is so powerful, that it moves us. And so thereby, we become inoculated. If we read Srimad Bhagavatam every day, I know it's not one of the principles that we promise to keep, but every spiritual master is asking, please, read at least an hour of Srimad Bhagavatam a day. When we have that, then we become inoculated against the onslaughts of material energy, of that association with material energy. And then we can preach. In the fourth canto, it says, even a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to the heavenly planets or even merging into Brahman, the effulgence, in complete liberation. That's the potency. So the greatest meditation is to associate with the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is ever fresh. Prabhupada said this is ever fresh. Sanatana Goswami was 7 years old when he got introduced to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sanatana Goswami. He was actually, he had a dream. Sanatana Goswami had a dream that this Brahman came to his door, when he was 7 years old, this Brahman came to his door and presented him with the Srimad Bhagavatam and said, this is all you ever need. And so he woke up in the morning and the next thing there's a knock on the door and there's a Brahman at the door. This is all you'll ever need, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he started reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. I just want to read some of the expressions that he said. Srila Sanatana Goswami was very freely expressed his attachment for this divine scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and his desire to constantly be immersed in the narrations in his prayers. And this is his prayer. Asadu sadu daini ati nikota taraka haha hana mucha kadichinam premna rite kanta spura. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, that's us folks. O uplifter of every fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So he dedicated his whole life to the Srimad Bhagavatam from 7 years old. And I've just got some other quotes about how to associate with the nectar of a pure devotee through the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedantic philosophy because its subject matter is the absolute truth, which, while not different from spirit soul, is the ultimate reality without a second. The goal of this literature is the exclusive devotional service unto the supreme truth. Some more quotes are, a pure devotee of the Lord does not live on any planet of the material sky, nor does he feel any contact with the material elements. So he's completely removed from this daydream. His so-called material body does not exist, being surcharged with the spiritual current of the Lord's identical interests. And thus he is permanently free from all contaminations of the sum total of the Mahatattva. He always is in the spiritual sky, which is attained by being transcendental to the sevenfold material coverings by effect of his devotional service. The conditioned souls are within the coverings, whereas the liberated soul is far beyond that covering. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.55. Another one is, pure devotees of the Lord are more powerful than the waters of the sacred Ganges. One can derive spiritual benefit out of prolonged use of Ganges water, but one can be sanctified at once by the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord. that again is Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.15. And finally, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has summed that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are so powerful that each one of them can deliver a universe. Each one of them can deliver a universe. This is the potential that each and every one of us have. Prabhupada didn't say that I am the only way. Prabhupada said, all of you can have what I have. And that's what we see. We see Prabhupada's life, we see the pure devotee's life, and we point to that and say, I want what he has got. So I'll end here. Any comments or questions to all of you? Silence is golden. It's good to be silent. You have a question, Bhakti? Yeah, it's an experience that really can't be described in words, actually. It's more just being more and more in the present, developing that quality of being in the present. But it's more than what the impersonal say, but just being conscious of the fact that you're not this material body. It's understanding that every moment is an opportunity to serve Krishna. So every moment you fit Krishna into your life. Every moment, if you've got a spare moment and you feel yourself drifting off, really witness that, I'm drifting off. You're a separate person to those thoughts. And then you actually introduce either chanting, reading, you know, or just becoming aware that Krishna is part of you and with you, that you're a spark of Krishna, and that our relationship is one of servitude and gratitude, you know? So you're continuously reprogramming yourself, you know? It's like that, rebooting yourself. And you'll feel yourself drifting off into a material state, complaining about such and such, or doing something else, or seeing some fault in someone, or something, or this wasn't right. It is just your mind. Being in this material world, your mind is your enemy. It's just Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, you know, in the morning you beat your mind with a shoe and beat it at night time again or something. It's like that. It's like that. You virtually have to see your mind, the material mind, as a separate entity. Maya is there to actually keep you engrossed in this material situation. And so when you can actually witness that, the materialist is completely engrossed in the mind game. If you can actually witness the fact, oh, here she comes again. And now, and you catch yourself, oh, now I'm criticizing someone. Well, now I'm hankering for something. Well, now I'm hankering and lamenting over something. And you witness that, and then you fit Krishna in there. You either quickly chant Hare Krishna or you read something, you know. That's in your daily life. It's not that you then have to completely remove yourself. There are interactions. We have, you know, like the Buddhist says also, before enlightenment, chop wood and carry water. Similarly, when you have that understanding that you're not this material body and you're connected with Krishna, you're still performing your daily activity. Nothing changes. But your consciousness has changed. You're simply doing it all as a service to Krishna. Everything. You know, you're bathing, you're cooking, everything is becoming a service to Krishna. And you're at the moment knowing when you cook, you know, I'm cooking this not for my satisfaction. Your mind will go, oh, yummy, I'm going to have these pakoras. You should know. I'm cooking this for Krishna. It has to be the best for pakoras. You know, your mind will say, oh, don't bother washing the cauliflower. It's okay. No. The mind, this is for Krishna. The cauliflower has to be nicely washed. The ingredients have to be correct. So then you become a perfectionist. But a perfectionist for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, in everything he did to perfection. The way you watch him cook, the way you see him walk, the way his stance, everything, because he's witnessing himself as a servant of Krishna. So we have to see ourselves witnessing ourselves as servants of Krishna. As soon as we actually start coming involved with the mind game, you lose it. And then we have to witness ourselves, hey, I'm back into this game where the mind is playing tricks of hankering and lamenting. Back in the present. What am I doing here? I'm serving Krishna. Then you become Krishna conscious. And you see the pure devotees, you know. Like, I never forget, you know, like David Marita Maharaj, you know, like we were at an AGM and he had the room next to me. I've said this quite a few times. He just doesn't stop chanting. You know, he's in the shower, he's chanting. He's in his room, he's chanting. He's conquered. You know, he's in the present and he's dedicating himself to the service of Krishna. 100% all the time. Those sort of people you have to hang out with. And those sort of people, again, it's that mantra, I want what he's got. I want what he's got. Because what he's got brings peace, brings clarity, and dispels the illusion of this day and night dream. For once and for all, you're out of the bodily conception completely. You're no longer this body. And a pure body like Srila Prabhupada was completely devoid of the bodily connection. Although the body went through pain and suffering and stuff, he had no feeling to it. The pure devotee has no pain because he doesn't identify with the body. You know, they make this thing about Lord Jesus Christ that he was hanging up on the cross, he suffered so much. He did. His body did. He did. He did. He didn't suffer. The body was suffering. He was remained aloof. He was in service to God. He was no longer the body. And this is the pleasure, this is the result of devotional service. When you are no longer identifying with this material body, that this is an illusion. It's a temporary reality, but it's you're not it. You're not it. You're a spirit soul. You're completely removed. And your connection is with Krishna. And then the more you actually put things in and dovetail things in with Krishna, the more you actually become more enlivened to stay in that consciousness, because it's all fulfilling. It is blissfully, it's bliss. It's bliss. You wouldn't want anything else. It's the fruit is in the pudding. You know, you just have to, those strains of saffron start to become a reality. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So really, really try. Do an exercise today. Right? For an exercise today, watch your mind. Just watch your mind, how she'll play with you. And if you're into deep sort of thoughts about, oh, I'm doing so much service and nobody loves me, she's playing you like anything. Drop it. What's happening now? I'm here. I'm now. I've got an opportunity to serve Krishna. I can chant his holy name. I can see his divine form. I can serve my spiritual master. Let me do it 100% without any sort of distraction from the mind. No hankering, no lamenting. You can't change anything. You can't change anything. You can't change the future and you can't do anything about the past. All that you've got is right now. And right now all I want is I'm a devotee. All I am is a devotee. And that's blissful. Is that okay?
Yeah. I guess also just understanding, you know, the mood of the thought, like as soon as you identify it, oh, this feels like a meditation. Right? Like if you're lamenting, it has a certain feeling to it.
Yeah.
You know, lamenting means, you know, something happened in the past and you're not happy with what happened.
Yeah.
And hankering means I'm looking forward to something happening in the future, but it's not here yet.
Yeah.
So just identifying that, oh, first my meditation means I'm not in the present.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just by identifying that it is
meditation. Right.
So just by understanding meditation, okay, I'm not in the present.
Yeah. Even in a devotee sense, I'm looking forward to going back to the spiritual sky. In the future, I'll go to the spiritual sky. You're already in it. You just haven't realized it. You're already in it. It's already in that moment of presence. It's already, if you fully 100% surrender to Krishna, it's just that we haven't yet. But you have to perform that exercise. If you're thinking, oh, I'll just stay in Krishna consciousness, eventually I'll go back home, back to Godhead. It's okay. It's a thought. It's nice. but it's not reality. You are already in the spiritual world. You are in the dream. Wake up. So go through the process of waking up and dovetail everything in the moment for Krishna service. If you're talking to someone, be Krishna conscious. If you're offering something, if you're doing something, if you're seeing something, watch your mind. Your mind will want to get you out of that consciousness. She is your enemy. It's not you. Your mind is not you. And as soon as it starts saying, oh, you know, I should be doing something else, or she's doing that to me, or I hate doing my homework, or I like this, and, you know, forget it. Why are we doing our homework? Bring it back into that. We're doing our homework so I can be good for Krishna, so I can learn and study and present Krishna consciousness in a nice way. Everything has to be dovetailed back to Krishna. When we do that and we witness the mind, then it's an amazing thing. And then that consciousness stays, not just in the waking stage, but it's even in the sleeping stage, 24 hours a day. So then the dreams come, and you're removed from the dreams. Look at this, now we've got this dream happening here about such and such and such and such. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You're doing that in your dream. You're watching your dream, you're thinking, I'm a part of that dream, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. And you feel, the thing is, when you do it, you're filled with bliss. Because Krishna is nothing but bliss. He's nothing but the strands of this delicious saffron. Way, way, way more than we can ever imagine. When we can lose the shackles of this material body and we become free, it is so pleasing. It is such a joy to be free, not to be hankered or laid down by your mind. Does that make sense? Okay, we better stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.